Let's go to verse number 19. And then Joseph, you can remain seated. I'm just going to read a little bit and then make a few points. And we're going to pray for our dads and give all of you an opportunity to take your dad home, feed him a big meal, massage his feet, rub his back, and take care of a few other really essential needs in their life and be kind to them. One day out of the year, not too bad, right? One day out of the year. In verse number 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man, everybody say a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 24, and Joseph, being raised up from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, knew her not, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We spend so much time talking about how that God chose this woman to be the mother of the Son of God, to be the one that would carry the flesh of God, if you please, to carry this precious child named Jesus within her bosom, and to give birth to what we know as today the Savior of the world. But I have a question for you today. In all of his choosing of the mother, do you think he nonchalantly chose the father? Do you think Joseph was just by chance? Or do you think God spent as much time choosing the man that would influence and impact the Son of the living God? This child that would come out of the womb of Mary and who would breathe the air of this earth and eat of the things of this earth, who would grow, the Bible says, in stature and in wisdom of men, who would become wise not only in the ways of God, but in the ways of men. I believe that God chose Joseph to be the father of the Son of God. Now, we know that he did not conceive in Mary. We understand that. So we are not dealing with the biological father, but we are dealing with the father that put principle and instilled in this child that grew and became strong in wisdom and in strength and in might of the flesh. We are dealing with the man who spoke into the life of this one that we call Jesus and would teach him the ways and the things of God as he would become a young man. And we know Joseph was active in his life, because when we look into the word of the Lord, we see that Jesus became a carpenter. He followed, like Sister Dooley spoke of her eldest son Jeremy following the footsteps of his father and as a mechanic, and now this job provides for him. So we find Jesus walking in the footsteps of his dad, Joseph, who was a carpenter. And Jesus grows up and becomes a carpenter. Because of this, we know that Joseph had a great impact in the life of Jesus Christ. We don't know how long. The Bible doesn't tell us. We know that when he's older, that Joseph is no longer on the scene. Somewheres down the line, God took him, removed him, and brought him home to heaven to be with him. And Jesus lost his father. But he was there long enough to impact him in more ways than one. Some of these things I would like for us to look at. I believe that he chose. I want you to look at a father and say, God chose you. Fathers, don't belittle yourself. God chose you. He chose you to raise that son. He chose you to raise that daughter. And you know what that tells me? That tells me you have everything in you to do the right job. You're not a failure. Say, I'm not a failure. Come on, shout it. Say, I'm not a failure. And listen, just because things don't always go right, I don't know a perfect family. I've never met a perfect family. I know these three stood up here and they talk so greatly about their families, but I promise you, they've got problems in their home, situations in the marriage, situations with the children and raising them, and disturbances and all kinds of things. Every family on earth faces its problems. That's when we cry out to God, I need you. I need your wisdom. Dad, that's when you cry out to God, I need your help. I need your strength. You've got to give me the patience, the ability. Show me what I need to do, how to do this. And I'm here to tell you that, Dad, all you've got to do is show up for the job. God will help you do everything else. So I believe that the Lord clearly demonstrates that a father is a very, very important role in the life of a son or a daughter. And how do you how can you express that, Pastor? Well, let's just get right down to it. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost conceived in Mary, and she conceived of the Almighty God. In all honesty, we didn't need a dad, did we? Joseph wasn't used in that facet, but God understands the value of a father. And even though Jesus was conceived miraculously in Mary, God understood that his son, this baby Jesus, this child that would grow up to be the savior of the world, would need a father in his life to help him and to walk with him and to go with him. And I'm here to tell every dad in this building today that when your wife conceived, that God knew that child would need this father, that he or she would need you to be there for her or him to help them in the difficulties of life. And I'm here to tell you, you've been chosen. Don't you let that devil tell you anything else. Put your hands together. I wish you knew how tough of a job this was to do this today, because to preach about dads, because of the bad rap of so many dads that have given us the bad rap. But you can start today. I don't care how much of a failure you think you've been as a father, and maybe you forsook. Maybe you have a child somewheres and they've never even heard your name. I don't know their circumstances, but I'm here to tell every man in this building today, you can start today being the dad that God has called you to be. You say, well, but all the things I messed up, let God worry about that. You just start doing what you're supposed to do according to the word of the Lord, and God has a way of bringing that together and fixing that and healing hearts that are hurt and fixing circumstances that look like they're broken beyond repair and putting things back together that look like they're so disarrayed they can never come back together the way that they're supposed to. I'm here to tell every dad, God can. And God will, and he'll do it through you if you'll let him. Somebody say, God thinks dads are important. Just a couple things real quick. Joseph was a loving man. He loved his wife. Even before they were married, they were just betrothed, which in the days of Jesus, in order to break that off, you literally had to go through a divorce. So betrothment in the days of Jesus Christ was as powerful as the actual ring being placed on the finger and the wedding being consummated. And so Joseph finds out that his wife is pregnant. He doesn't know who the father is. Now, because this verse is before God spoke to him. He does not know who the father is. And he can only exclude one man, and that's himself. He knew he wasn't dad. And so now here's a woman standing in front of him that in his mind, heart, and spirit, even though she is no doubt portraying to him that she had a visitation from God and she, you know, and an angel came to her and she's pregnant from an angel. Come on, guys. Really? If your wife shows up tomorrow, huh? My wife shows up tomorrow and says, you know, you're not going to believe this. But I was laying on my bed last night, and an angel came in, and an angelic spirit, and I'm pregnant of God, and I'm going to have the Savior of the world, and your daddy, Joseph. I mean, Joseph just, you can tell he didn't believe her, but he loved her. And the Bible says that he was going to put her away privately. He could have exposed her, but to expose her would be death. They would have stoned her. That's the penalty of adultery. And they would have stoned her. And so Joseph was going to go about in a private way of separating from his wife, but yet not bring shame to her. Why? Because he loved her. And because he showed this love towards her, we know the story. The word of God tells us that the angel Gabriel came and visited the Lord Jesus Christ, or visited Joseph, and said, "That which is in Mary is of the Most High God. Take her to yourself." Look at the love that this man had for this woman, that no matter what kind of embarrassment it might bring, no matter what reputation might come from it, it didn't matter to Joseph. God had sealed the deal, if you please. And Joseph was willing to face any shame or any embarrassment that he had to do because he loved Mary. Dads, I'm talking to us right now. We need to fall in love with our wives. We need to fall back in love with our wives. I don't know what you did to make her fall in love with you. I don't know what she did to make you fall in love with her. I don't know. Go back to courting. Do whatever you've got to do. But fall back in love with your wife. Love her. Let it be a pleasure when she walks through the door. Get excited when you see her. That's what the wisest man in the world that ever lived said. He said, enjoy your wife all the days of your life. She's the gift to you from God. Let's fall in love with our wives every day. Come on. Every day, every day, every day. He loved her. He protected her. When they had to go out and pay the taxes, Jesus had heard about having to go into Jerusalem, and then the angel comes into Joseph and he says, Joseph, Herod is going to come and try to kill the child. I want you to take the child. I want you to flee the area, go into Egypt, flee. Now listen, we think, okay, well, Joseph is a great guy, right? And he obeyed God and he grabbed Mary and he just left. Joseph had to leave his family. He had to leave his business. He had to leave security. He had to leave familiarity, and he had to go somewheres that he had never gone before and start all over, but he trusted God. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, men, we need to learn to sacrifice for our families. Sorry about my voice. I'm not sure. A little bit of water there. We need to learn to sacrifice for our families. Now listen, I've told you this before, and it's because I believe it. I'm probably the most selfish man I've ever met. It was revealed to me when my wife caught me eating the last ice cream cone behind the refrigerator door. But I tried to explain to her it was not selfishness. It was sacrifice. Because I knew if I brought that last cone out, all my kids would fight over it. You would want it. I didn't want to see the pain. I didn't want to see the confusion. And I said, I'm going to spare my family from all of this. And I'll just eat this cone. I'll sacrifice. Me, by myself, I'll take the pain. And I'll eat this cone by myself. And I got caught. I could not convince my wife of my perspective of the scenario, and so things begin to be revealed slowly in my life. Man, we have a tendency to be selfish. It's just kind of built into our nature, isn't it? And we have to fight that every day. Joseph gave us an example of sacrifice. Whatever you have to give up, you give it up for your family. Wherever you have to go, you go for your family. You don't lose your family. You don't lose your children. You don't lose the cohesiveness of it. You go through whatever you've got to go through because there's nothing more important than our families. He was willing to sacrifice for her. He was willing to protect her. He was a devout man. He was an obedient man to God. Just running through these, he was a man of faith and obeyed the voice of the living God. It was evident that Jesus Christ was not the only child of Mary. When you read the word, you find out that there were brothers and from what we can see from scriptures, there were sisters. In fact, we know that two of the brothers of Jesus Christ became apostles. They were two of the 12. So look at a man who raised a family, that the Son of God that came from his wife, that he helped raise, completed his task, even though it was the death of the cross. And then his other two more of his sons. We don't know exactly how many he had in his family, but two more sons grew up. And when the calling from God came, they responded. And I'm going to tell you why James and John responded to the call of God when Jesus said, "Follow me." It's because his dad had showed him by example. When God says move, you move. When God says go, you go. You love your family. You love your children. You sacrifice. You do whatever you've got to do. Let's stand to our feet. And I'm excited here today to say we've got a church full of dads that love their families. I'm excited about that. A church full of dads that love their families. And we've got a church full of men that are learning how. And that's what happens. You come into the house of God, God begins to speak to us as men, changes our ways and our directions and things about us, changes our perspective, our understanding, our goals, our ambitions in life. Everything changes when you come into the house of God. And you understand that the most valuable thing that you have in this world is not your home, it's not your cars, it's not things, but it's your family. It's your children. It's your wife. And I know I'm preaching to a church full also of divorced families and separations and all kinds of situations here. Dad, listen, I don't have all the answers. I'm just a dad trying to figure it out myself. But I can tell you where to get all the answers. You go put your face on the floor before your God, and the first thing he'll do is take pride out of you. He'll humble you, and then he'll teach you how to love. He'll teach you how to forgive. He'll teach you how to sacrifice. He'll teach you how to be there for your family. And you'll say, "But you don't understand the mess I'm in, Pastor." No, I don't, but God does. And I'm just here to tell you, he's big enough to fix anything we mess up. If we'll put it back in his hands, if we'll start doing to the best of our abilities what we're supposed to do, God will take our lives and he will help us. I want my dads to come down. It's only 15 to 1. If you're a father, whether your family is here or not, whether you're a divorced dad and your children are in New York and you're in South Florida, it doesn't matter. I want every dad. If you've ever had a child, if you're a father and you don't even know where your child is, mom took them, left you, and when you were on drugs or whatever it may be and you don't even know where the family is, I want you to come. I want you to come. If you've ever given seed for birth, I want you to come into this altar. I want all of my dads to be here. And we're going to pray for our dads. And we're going to ask the Lord if there are broken homes, we're going to ask God to mend those homes. And if there are dads here that don't even know where some children are, we're going to ask God to reunite them. Where's Sister? Name went right out of my head. Kelly, yes. She's
She had to take her kids home. Okay. Sister Kelly, we call her kids. They're kids that live in the apartments where she lives. She brings in about 10 or 15 kids every service. Many of them have been receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. That's awesome. But Kelly's past isn't the best past in the world, and she got in church living for God. She had a daughter, a son she hadn't spoke to in 3 years, and she came and she said, Pastor, you know, God's been working on me and fixing me, and I really want to be reunited to my son. And listen, 3 days later, the phone call came. No one reaching out, no one connecting, just two people praying. And God moves mountains. Phone call comes. She's in contact with her son again. They've already gotten together and even eaten, and things are going well. So she got a little braver, and she came, and she said, I have a daughter. I haven't seen her. I think she said since she's two. And so however many years, 10, 12 years, I don't know. I may get some of the numbers wrong, but hasn't seen her daughter in all of these years. Daughter didn't even know who she was. In fact, she found out her dad told her mother was dead. And never seen her since she was just a little old toddler. And she said, I want God to restore that too. I want God to restore that too. Do you know where she's at? No, I don't know anything. I don't know nothing. I know nothing about her. So we agreed together and we prayed. 2 weeks later, her son gets back in contact with mom. He says, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I found my sister, your daughter. I found her. Since then, they've already met, and that's a building relationship. And we know there's a lot of water, a lot of trouble, a lot of situations. But this is what I'm trying to say, Dad. I'm trying to say to each and every one of us, there are no impossible situations with God. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. And so we've got an altar field here with dads that some of you have been long-standing, faithful dads. You're with your family, and God's blessing you, and you understand the rewards. Some of my dads that are here today, you were in the world. You messed your family up, your marriage up. You lost your kids, disaster. Now you come into the house of God. God has prayed you through. He's fixed you up, and now you're living for Him. And so He's putting things in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, God is going to help you restore your connections to your kids and help you be a dad in whatever level that the Lord will do that. And so all, whatever the scenario, whatever the circumstance, we are asking God to move upon our fathers and to give us wisdom and knowledge and strength and direction and to love our families the way we're supposed to love our families. Church, will you stretch your hand towards these dads? Dads, will you lift your hands towards your heavenly Father, and we're just going to begin to pray. God, I come to you right now in the power of the Holy Ghost, and I thank you for every dad that's in these altars. God, only you understand the circumstances. Only you understand the situations. But there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing my God cannot do. And Lord, I'm asking you right now today to intervene into the life of every father, every man, God, that's in this altar today. I want you to begin to intervene in their life. And God, I want you, if they're with their families, I want you to strengthen those families. If there's division in the marriage, I want you to heal it. God, if there's trouble in the home, I want you to fix it. God, give that father wisdom. Give him direction. Give him strength. Oh God, I pray, let your anointing come upon him. Make him the priest of the home. Give him, God, your Shekinah glory. Father, we ask it in your name. And Lord God, for the dads here today that are not with their children, I pray, God, put a love in their heart like they've never known. Put a strength in them. Work out circumstances. Reunite them, God, and help them to be that dad that you've called them to be. Heal every family. Heal every situation. Heal every heart. And Father, right now, in the power of the Holy Ghost, I come against condemnation, the spirit of condemnation that would try to hold a dad back. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I loose the glory of God and the power of God and the righteousness of God. Forgive us, Lord, as fathers. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our own doings. We repent of our sins. We call to you, O God, and we ask your help today. We ask for your strength. My God, I feel something in this place. Somebody help the preacher. Somebody help the preacher pray for a moment. Come on, don't let me pray by myself. Come on, men. Come on, church. Come on, we're battling spirits. Spirits that are trying to tear our homes apart. Spirits that are trying to tear our marriages apart. Spirits that are trying to cause our kids to get out of church. Come on, we're battling spirits. We've got a war. We've got to go to war. Come on, Dad. You're the priest of the home. You're the warrior of the home. Come on, Dad. You're that mighty man of valor. We've got to go to war in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, a moment longer. Just a moment longer. Just a moment longer. Come on. Come on, Dad. Tarry a little bit. Tarry just a little bit. Let your heart go out. Let your heart go out. We need the help of God. We need the help of our God. We need the help of our Savior. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our wrongdoings. Oh God, cleanse us with your blood. Cleanse our mind. Cleanse our heart. Oh God, wash away our past. Help us to do right from this day forward. Help us, God, we pray. We need your help. We need your help. We need your help. We need your help. Hallelujah. We got to have you, God. 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 Help our dads. Help us, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Give us the wisdom we need. Give us the knowledge we need. Give us the strength we need. Give us the patience we need. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 Break every yoke, God. Crush every chain, oh God. Break the power of sin in our lives. Break addictions in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I war against you, you prince of the air. I come against you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of my Savior over these dads. You are a liar, devil. You're a liar. You will not get them. I break these chains of addictions. I crush it by the power of the blood. I loose the righteousness of Jesus Christ upon them in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the word and the blood of my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love you, 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 we love you. Jesus. 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 I love you. I love you. I love you. I wish the women in the congregation would start travailing just to come on, just a moment longer, church. I wish everybody could understand what the Father goes through. The devil knows if he can take down the dad, he can take down the family. Come on. Dads, we need him. Church, we need your prayers. Fathers, need your prayers. We got to have the prayers. We need you, Father. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Sing it with us, men. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Let's all join in one more time. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Come on, tell him. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Can we just lift those hands to the one we adore, the one we appreciate? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Dad, you need to say right now, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Come on, say it, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. Come on, lift those hands and receive that strength that comes directly from Him today. Hallelujah, His strength is in this place. His strength is in His Word. His strength is in His Spirit. Oh, yes. And His strength is in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. We are receiving from the Lord today. We've got great battles on our hands. But I want to tell you, we can win these battles. We can overcome these challenges. We can be victorious. Somebody say, and we will. Look at another man of God and say, and we will. Amen. Before you're dismissed, greet one another, hug one another. Amen. I have been blessed. I have been enriched. I have been